The Boulder Tech Podcast is presented by Iolo.com, developers of the award-winning software suite System Mechanic, which repairs, optimizes, and protects Windows PCs. With a global sales presence in 33 countries and products in 11 languages, tens of millions of people have used Iolo's products for their PC optimization, security, and data recovery needs since 1998. Today, Iolo is widely recognized by both consumers and industry experts as a worldwide leader in the system utility software market. Iolo is offering all Boulder Tech Podcast listeners a 60% discount off either Phoenix 360, System Mechanic Pro, or System Mechanic through the coupon code Boulder Tech Podcast. Simply go to Iolo.com, decide which product works best for you, and enter the coupon code Boulder Tech Podcast, all one word, at checkout. The 60% discount will be automatically applied to your order. Welcome to the Boulder Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Joel Davis. Our guest for episode number 34 is Irina Gladysheva, a Watson Institute scholar and founder of Learnix, a learning platform for connecting people from her native Russia with teachers and opportunities for work and study abroad. Among many things, Irina and I discuss how a ninth grader living in a rural Russian village taught herself English, where she developed her passion for connecting other Russians with opportunities and the world beyond Russia, and how Irina is making the most of her time at Watson Institute to develop a platform for accomplishing her mission. All of that and more as the Boulder Tech Podcast speaks with Irina Gladysheva of Learnix. I don't know if you know this or not, but you're the second Watson scholar that I've had on the Boulder Tech Podcast.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, last semester I spoke with Kim White from Zimbotize, and he was
from Zimbabwe. Yes.
And I just happened to sort of randomly meet him at the CU Startup Hub because I was recording another podcast episode there, and we just started talking, and I thought it was really interesting what he's doing. And so now I've met you sort of randomly through your mentor, Corey, from Dojo 4, where the Boulder Tech Podcast is headquartered. And so now it was really interesting to meet you and hear what you're talking about. So here we are today, and welcome.
Thank you.
So simply, what is LearnX?
LearnX is the platform that connects Russian students to the international teachers and also give the opportunity to Russian students to go abroad for internships or volunteering projects. Like basically book them on the platform, apply there, and have the lessons as well, like have the possibility to choose teachers online.
And your inspiration for this project came from your own experience, correct?
Yes.
And so tell us how you learned to speak English and wound up here in Boulder.
Okay.
That's a long story.
Yeah, it is a long story because I am from a very, very small village. We have 1,000 people population in my village. I don't have school. I don't have stores, like supermarkets. Like there's nothing. There's basically forest, houses, and like sometimes there's a public transportation, which is also like every 4 hours we have a bus. Like basically it's very isolated place. However, I live close to St. Petersburg, which is 70 kilometers from there, but it's a very different environment. So at some point, when I was in ninth grade, I heard about opportunity to go to an exchange program to the United States, and I was amazed by that. I was like, oh my God, going to the United States! Like, it's insane, like, it's impossible. And one of my friends went for an exchange program. And then I checked that exchange program and I thought that one of the requirements was to know English. And I had no knowledge in English. So I spent all my ninth grade learning English, and I applied to another exchange program because that one was closed due to problems with Crimea and sanctions from the United States and Europe. So I applied there and I got accepted to go to Italy. And here I go. I don't know Italian, but I went to Italy for 10 months and I learned Italian and English there. And I was so inspired to just continue learning abroad because it was so different from Russia in many, many aspects of like educational opportunities, developmental opportunities, any kind of opportunities there. And I hadn't had those opportunities in my life. And I decided to apply to international school. So I applied for various schools and I got accepted to Israel and I got a scholarship so I could go, and I spent in Israel 2 years. And the first year when I just came there, after living 1 year in Italy and speaking in Italian and doing my school in Italian, I realized that I actually don't know English when it was coming to the classes. I was like, oh my God, I don't understand what those people are saying. But it opened up many opportunities for me, because after 1 year studying in Israel, I was able to go to Stanford for a summer school. And then I finished my second year in Israel. And now I'm here in Boulder at the Watson Institute doing my venture in the United States, speaking in English.
So you went from being in ninth grade and not knowing any English to... Yeah. Learning enough English to get into an exchange program in Italy, and then from there to Israel. And so backing up a little bit, how did you, a ninth grader in a tiny village north of St. Petersburg with no school, how did you learn to speak English?
I started it by buying a grammar book. It's called English Grammar in Use by Raymond Murphy. So I bought it and I started doing exercises. But also in the summer I worked, like I had some money that I could hire a tutor. So I found a tutor and I was coming to the lessons, but at some point I realized that it was not useful. And I found a place in St. Petersburg where I could go, but you know, one way to St. Petersburg is 2 hours. So I was spending 2 hours going there, 1 hour and a half there and 2 hours going back. So I spent 4 hours just on my way to learn English, and that place was very helpful, to be honest. But most of the time, what I can say that it was my own effort and time. Like, I did grammar from the book, I watched videos on YouTube, I tried to talk to people, like, literally, you know, like, if I would, like, see the stranger, if I hear him speaking in English, I would just, like, approach and started speaking, but it almost never happened because we don't have so many international people in Russia. And a lot of that comes from watching online videos and listening and not understanding it, but watching it over and over and over and over again and doing the grammar. I mean, speaking is also important, but I realized that as much as I watch in English, as much as I do my grammar, I can speak.
And were you watching, like, videos on how to speak English, or were you watching music videos, clips from movies?
I just watch bloggers speaking about their lives, mostly the bloggers that speak about productivity, studying, education, or business. Like, I started by watching TEDx. I had a goal, watch one TEDx video every day. And at first I started stopping and translating everything, but then I was just watching it, you know? Not understanding anything, but doing it every day. And I did the same with Spanish. I was just watching videos about politics in Spanish, and... like, I just speak English a little bit now. Oh, Spanish a little bit now.
How many languages do you speak now?
Oh, it's hard to say because my... I speak Russian because it's my mother tongue. I speak English. In Italy, I learned Italian. I was actually living with Italian host family and studying in Italian school. So I had to take my exams in Italian as well. But I didn't practice it for 2 years. I still watch videos in Italian, though. And Spanish. I learned it in Israel. Yeah, unfortunately, didn't get a chance to learn Hebrew.
Did your family nurture and support your interest in learning other languages and your just basic, your curiosity about the world?
Yes and no. Because my parents are very supportive, but at the same time, they say that I need to become real and get a real job and get a real profession and do real things. And my environment is very much not supporting me in Russia. They think that I'm insane. That I shouldn't just, you know, go and travel the world and, like, go to study in Israel, for example, because I have to study in Russian school and then go to the Russian university and then get a job in Russia and things like that. But my parents, they, like, if you feel that it's better for you, like, we're happy to, like, support.
So they're happy to see what you're doing?
Yes, but they still question what I'm doing, you know? They still think that maybe Watson Institute is not the place where I'm supposed to be, but they're like, if you feel that it's for you, it's for you.
What would be a typical pathway for someone your age growing up in your village? Like, what are most of your peers doing?
There are not as many people in my village of my age, but people from my village are usually getting on a very wrong way of drinking alcohol and, like, taking drugs and just, like, getting married and having children when they're, like, starting from 15 until, like, 25. They already have a family. But people who I studied in Russian school, because I went to a different city to a school, when they finish high school when they're 18, they go to the university. So my classmates are actually finishing the second year of the university right now. So they will finish 4 years and they will get a job and get a family and like have this normal life.
Does that appeal to you at all?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
And did you realize that that did not appeal to you before you learned to speak English and left, or not until after you left and started seeing how other parts of the world worked?
To be honest, at some point, I just felt that the environment that I'm spending my time in is toxic, that people are getting on a very wrong direction. And for some reason, maybe because of my family being very good people, that they educate me when I was very young, what's like good things to do in life and what are not. So when I was in those kind of people around, I just felt that it's wrong. So I cut the relationship. I moved to another school. And when I was in the other school, also those people went in their own direction. And I just felt that this is not my way. So I started just learning about different opportunities. And I was reading a lot of books, but books not like novels, mostly like self-development books and psychology books, like sort of business books, which I now don't really find appealing. But at that moment, they helped me to find my own way, that it's normal to feel the way I feel and just do things that I feel are right for me. And my books were my great support, to be honest, much greater than environment, people, or even my parents.
Your first stop once you left Russia for the first time was Italy. Is that correct?
I used to visit other countries before, but for like a week and things like that. But my major stop when I went alone abroad with no knowledge in languages, like proper knowledge to communicate or knowing anyone in there, it was Italy.
And so how did that feel the first time you landed in Italy and you didn't speak the language? And
I was so excited. I was so excited that I thought this is the most amazing and crazy thing that can happen. You know, like I was so happy to be there. And yeah, I felt very happy there.
And what did you study in that time there? How long were you there, first of all?
For 10 months.
10 months?
Yeah, 1 academic year. I went to normal high school, to Italian high school, and the normal subjects that they studied, like physics, math, visual arts, like philosophy, history, like the normal subjects.
And so when did you start developing this idea for this project you're working on now, LearnX? When did that idea start to come into shape?
That idea actually came to me when I was in Israel. My idea for LearnX was very different in the beginning, so I will just start saying how I developed that idea and how I came to the idea that I have right now. So when I was in Israel and I was applying to universities and I was getting accepted, but I was not getting the financial aid that would allow me to go there, I was very sad. And there were also many rejection letters. And it very much made me think that what if all education would be online and we would just be able to, you know, learn and that get that experience, like, and get the job, because you go to, like, there of course, different people go to universities for different reasons, but many people go there because they want to get a job, right? And I was very upset because I really wanted to learn, and I really thought that if I had a chance just to learn it for free, I would just take that chance, and I couldn't find this chance to learn. So first, I wanted to create an online learning platform that would use the AI to teach people. So basically, you would not have teachers, you would just have the AI, the machine that is teaching you, the robot. But after coming to Watson, I realized that this idea would not work at this moment. I will just be able to incorporate in what I'm doing right now, and that right now I just should focus on Russian people and expose them to the outside world. Because exploring the problems that we have and being more directed to what I'm doing, Russia is the place that I want to focus, because that's where I came from, and I see many people with a lot of potential, but with very little opportunities. So exploring the problems that my country has, I realized that people in Russia lack access to knowledge about the opportunities that exist in the world.
But would you say that there is a hunger among Russians, especially younger Russians, to learn more about the world, or is it more a matter of they don't even know what they don't know?
Oh, yeah, that's perfect. Actually, that's perfect saying, that they don't know what they don't know. Because how can you want to know something about something if you don't even know that this exists, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm afraid that this is what's happening, because people don't try to learn English on their own because they don't see why they need to apply it, because everything they see is the Russia and the problems that they have inside and that they need to solve those problems. Because even if you get your salary, you're still so insecure about your tomorrow. You're insecure about whether you will be able to buy food or not, you know, and like whether you will be able to pay for your apartment or not. And people are very much concerned about all those things, so they don't try to do something like going for vacations abroad or thinking about different cultures. Like, I'm talking about major population. Of course, there are outliers, such as people who have much more money than others. And if we talk to people from St. Petersburg or Moscow, they're so much different from the people from the other cities.
Sure.
Because all the monies are concentrated in Moscow and St. Petersburg.
Right.
Another Russia is just another country.
So it sounds like one of your biggest challenges then for LearnX would be even to show Russians why they should care about it in the first place.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. That could be the reason. And by my own experience, I want to show them how it could be very interesting and beautiful to be abroad and just experience different cultures and different kind of world. And that life doesn't stop in your city, in your village.
How will you identify the best students for LearnX, the best candidates to participate in this program, and how will you select the teachers?
The best students are those who live in very remote areas and who don't have access to most of the things that people from bigger cities have. And I want to look for those people and I want to help those people to show them what they can have in life. And there are different reasons to recruit those people. I would love to travel to those small cities, to small villages, maybe to even orphanages, and talk to people, make presentations about what I'm doing and what can they go through, you know. And I'm seeing my ideal people are who are very much below the average, which is the majority of the people, in my opinion. And I just want to talk to them in schools. Yeah.
Have you started presenting this idea to people in Russia yet?
I started my YouTube channel, and it's very small. I started it in the summer, and I stopped it for some reason, but I'm planning to continue doing it, because many people were interested in asking me direct questions, messages, directly messaging me about opportunities. I was talking mainly about Israel and my experience there, so yeah.
Paint a little bit of a picture for the listeners here who have not been to rural northeastern Russia. Is there internet? Is there TV? Is there access to programming or content produced outside of Russia? Or is it all just Russian content?
The thing is that I am actually in my village. We don't have Wi-Fi. And I'm using the 3G SIM card for my computer. And many people do that. So I personally don't know. I'm living in the European part of Russia. And I'm living close to St. Petersburg. And I have no idea what's happening in the rest of the country. But I assume, and I can like feel that, I hope that they have internet, access to the internet. But when we go online, we are able to access many things. But at the same time, for example, LinkedIn is blocked. And there were many rumors that they're going to block other websites for us.
But Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
Yeah, we have it. Yeah. It's not that bad. we have it. But at the same time, people who don't know English, they don't use Facebook, because we have Kontakte, which is Russian Facebook, which is the alternative what everyone is in Russia is using. So we don't, most of us don't use Facebook. And if you search something, you search it in Russian and you use Yandex, which is alternative to Google. And many people just don't use Google because you use Yandex. And so most of the information that you find is in Russian, which is filtered and which is very much biased on the opinion that they want us to know.
Right. Where were you when you found out about Watson Institute?
Oh, my friend from Poland, with who I studied in Israel, he told me about Watson.
Okay. And so you just decided to apply or did?
Yes.
Was it a big deal just to be able to get here?
In terms of
just coming up with the money and getting visa or what, or you know, whatever is required to come to study at Watson Institute.
I got visa last year in Israel. It was easy, but if you're in Russia, it's not easy to get visa for the United States due to various political issues. And in the money case, yes, it was also not easy. Actually, it was very much not easy, but I got a very big scholarship from Watson Institute, and I was able to fundraise around $500, and I'm still fundraising while I'm here to pay for my tuition. Yeah.
And how has your experience at Watson been?
It's great. I love it. I love it, honestly. I love it. Every day is the portion of motivation just from speaking to the other scholars.
And tell us what the experience is like. What are they teaching you? How does what does a day look like?
Mm-hmm. So the basic week that we have classes on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and we have three subjects, which is transformative entrepreneurship, where we mainly discuss things for our ventures, such as for the past 6 weeks, we were talking about clarity and just the trying to dive deep into the problems that are we trying to solve. And right now we're going to focus on money and the revenue models and like the things that are important for startups. And the second subject is transformative action, where we're actually mostly focusing on ourselves or on our feelings, let's say, because we were talking about the forgiveness, the obstacles in life, what is transformative action versus direct action. And we discussed the studies that were done, and just we have a lot of deep conversation in class. And the third class is lab, where they give us skills needed for developing our ventures, such as how to build a website, how to manage your time, what is the CRM tools. And on Fridays, every Friday, we get a guest speaker, which is the master course teacher, which are the people who have very interesting and successful stories about their lives and who are willing to share it with us.
Any of those stories that stand out for you?
Yes, honestly, yes. I loved the story of the Justins. They're not the Justin's peanut butter.
Mm-hmm.
And he came to us. He was the first guest and he was the first master course teacher. And just the way he talked about his life and his vision on life, for example, he never paid more to himself than to his employees. So basically, he always paid more to his employees than to himself, which is very interesting. And
non-traditional.
Non-traditional, yeah.
The semester incubator is 4 months long and you're about halfway through, right?
Yes.
What happens when your semester is over at Watson?
Mm-hmm.
What's next?
I'm actually planning to pilot one of the parts of my venture, because Learnix is the online platform that brings together Russian people and international teachers, and at the same time allowing those Russian teachers to go abroad for internships or volunteering projects. So I want to try this offline part to pilot it this summer by taking one Russian student and myself and going to Uganda for 4 months to the refugee settlement in Kampala.
You showed me the grant application that you made for this, and the person running that program in Uganda, this is a fellow Watson scholar, right?
Yes.
Is something, an idea that you created with her this semester?
Yes.
So you'll go to Uganda and take a Russian student with you and get them involved with the program in this refugee settlement.
Yes.
And they'll also learn English and see how sort of a little bit about how the world exists outside of Russia. Yes. And that sounds very exciting.
Yeah, it does, because she's creating a reality TV show by bringing students from the universities to the refugee settlement and making them solve problems of the refugees.
That's a very different kind of reality
it
TV,
is,
but
it
sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
So have you started reaching out to people to be teachers for LearnX on the LearnX platform?
I did. And the very interesting thing is that I tried to talk to Russian people and I tried to talk to American people. And the biggest thing that surprised me so much is that when I asked them whether they want to be volunteers or teachers who are paid, Russian people said that they want to be paid and Americans said that they can do it voluntarily. And that was very interesting for me.
What do you make of that?
I guess different life conditions, to be honest, because Russian people, they need money. They really need money. And in America, people have a much more higher living conditions, I would say. I'm saying it in a good way. And so people are more willing to give their time for something that makes them feel happy.
Are most of the people you've spoken with about being teachers on the American side, are most of them here in Boulder?
Most of them are here in Boulder, honestly.
Which I would guess the economic conditions here are a little different than the people you might have. So what are your impressions of Boulder? Is this your first time in the U.S.? No, you said you had done something at Stanford.
Yeah, it's my second time in the U.S. Last time I stayed here for 3 weeks at Stanford in the summer school. And this is my second time here in Boulder, and I love it. I love it. I love it with all my heart, because you just go outside and you meet incredible people. You get connections and just like so many opportunities in this city. Just look around.
Are there any observations that stand out about things you noticed in Boulder, things that you that surprised you, things that impress you, things that have disappointed you, anything along those lines?
It's a very interesting question. It just surprises me every day how many opportunities there are in this city and how nice people are in here and how much they're willing to help you, not even knowing you.
Are there any similarities between Boulder and your home village?
Nature. My home village is very small, very, very small, and it's very isolated. And for me, Boulder seems to be a very open place. But of course, Boulder is a bubble, and Watson is a bubble, but it's a very good bubble. And my village is a very negative bubble, I would say, personally, how I experienced it.
So Watson's going to end in a couple of months, and then hopefully you'll have received this grant so that you can take a student to Uganda in June to July,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah.
So I imagine if that goes through, then most of your time between the end of Watson and then will be just setting all of that up?
Yes, from May until July, yes.
And then where do you see yourself going from there?
I want to continue working on my project. I would like to stay in the US until September, and develop it here, and then go back to Russia and go do presentations in the schools and talk to people and recruit people, and at the same time apply to grants in here, because this is a non-profit, so I need different kind of things to focus on, which is the fundraising, which is recruiting people, which is thinking about all these small parts. But I really want to continue developing my venture and making it big.
And the platform for that will just be a website?
At this moment, yes. But if I'm able to get enough funding, I want to make it a serious platform.
At this point, the way you see it working is somebody who wants to learn English, they would connect with the teacher through this platform?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a large technical hill to climb there? Or is that something you're getting help with or something you're doing yourself, the coding part of it?
In terms of building a platform or building a website?
I guess building the website.
Building a website, I'm trying to do it myself and asking help from the other scholars.
Mm-hmm.
But building a platform, I will need to have an external help for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you see yourself settling in Russia someday or in the US or somewhere else, or just being a constant traveler?
It's a very good question. Because when I came back to Russia from Israel, I really wanted to go back to Israel. But at the same time, I wanted to stay a little bit in Russia. And now I really feel like exploring the world, and maybe at some point to go to the place where I feel the most comfortable.
But just to continue exploring for
a while. At this moment, yes, I want to explore more.
Work on your project from wherever you can work on it.
Yes. I love this beauty of this 21st century, that you can do your thing for a specific country such as Russia, but you can be outside of Russia. You don't have to be necessarily in there.
And that's something that I think a lot of Americans might take for granted, the ability to be able to do that, to work from just about anywhere. So it must be very exciting to bring that opportunity to people back home in Russia who have no idea maybe that this even is a possibility.
Yes. And I really want to help Russian people to be able to go abroad and to see that kind of life and to have this internship experience at the international company and have this opportunity to learn the language and to learn the skills that they want to learn. Because, you know, when I was thinking, maybe I'm doing the wrong thing, because many people are very poor and many people don't even have, for example, very old people who live on their pension, which is $142 a month, by the way. This is the average. and they don't even have enough money to buy food. And when their kids are sick, they're not even able to pay for the surgery. So they're fundraising. Actually, in Russia, the only way people start fundraising is for those kind of things, which are basic. Mm-hmm. We don't fundraise for other things that I saw how people abroad doing that for business, for example, because it sounds insane fundraising for business if your kids are sick or you don't have money to buy food. So first I was thinking maybe I need to try to focus to solve all those things. But I realized that this is a systemic problem and I'm not able to solve it right now. What I can do is to focus on the education and help people to create an awareness of what's happening in their country. Because when people are born and the only thing they see is that everyone in their environment is in those kind of conditions, this is a reality. This is what it's normal. But I want to show that this is not normal. This is not okay when you don't have your money for tomorrow, when you don't have the possibility to pay for the surgery for your kid. This is not okay. So I want to educate them first and to show them that that could be different. So then they could spread that awareness to other people. And then maybe something can change, you know? But if with my venture, I'm able to make this shift with people awareness of what's happening, I will feel that I'm actually successful, you know, and I'm helping them.
Yeah, it sounds kind of revolutionary.
You know, maybe, hopefully. Really hope. Because I'm very sad for people. And I feel very sad because people, many people just are so poor. And they just don't get the basics. And when I think I'm focusing on the education, maybe it's wrong. But then no, I don't think that it's wrong. That's what I need to focus. I need to make them to be aware of what's going on.
Well, it sounds like you're setting a great example because you've...
Yeah.
You had just a little crack in the door that interested you, and you sort of went to that light and learning the English and applying for a program. And and look where that's taken you in really not very long of a time. Mm-hmm. So to be able to bring that message back, it could definitely change some lives.
Yeah, hopefully.
What advice would you give to someone around your age who has their own big idea but isn't sure how to get started?
I mean, if the person really feels that this is the right thing to do, and if the environment says the opposite, I think that the person should just focus on what's internally saying. But I would actually say just research as much as possible everywhere, to talk as many people as possible, but still have this internal strength to do what it feels like the right thing to do. But do research, Google, check, explore. Yes, I think this is... advice. Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Irina Gladysheva, thank you very much for speaking with me today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me here. I'm very, very happy to be here with you. Honestly, thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks.
It's been a pleasure. Definitely.
That was Irina Gladysheva, founder of Learnix and a current Watson Institute scholar. Learn more at watson.is. The Boulder Tech Podcast is presented by Iolo.com, developers of the award-winning software suite System Mechanic, which repairs, optimizes, and protects Windows PCs. Iolo is offering all Boulder Tech Podcast listeners a 60% discount off their products. Simply go to iolo.com, that's I-O-L-O, decide which product works best for you, and enter the coupon code BoulderTechPodcast, all one word, at checkout. The Boulder Tech Podcast is made possible in part by Glider, a Colorado-based community movement and nonprofit that produces Boulder's Ignite and TEDx events, as well as Boulder Startup Week. Learn more and consider a donation at glider.com. Thanks to Dojo 4 for providing space for the Boulder Tech Podcast HQ and to KGNU Community Radio for studio usage. Our intro music is by Echo Deck. Hear more at echodeck.com. That's E-C-C-O-D-E-K. Our outro music is by Earthrise Sound System. You'll find them at earthrisesoundsystem.com. The Boulder Tech Podcast is produced by me, Joel Davis. Your feedback, criticisms, and comments are welcome. Reach me at joel@dojo4.com. Thanks for listening,
We'll see you back here for the next episode of the Boulder Tech Podcast.